Welcome to Nurse Educator Podcast. I'm Marilyn Orman, Editor-in-Chief of Nurse Educator. With me today is Kristen Petrovic. And I'm just delighted, Kristen, that you're going to join us today. Kristen is a doctoral candidate and the academic coordinator of the BN curriculum in the Faculty of Health Disciplines in Athabasca University, which is in Alberta, Canada. And I hope you all had a chance to read her article. It's an open access article. Everybody can read it for free. And Kristen is doing really important research using an ethical framework and really integrating this with open and critical pedagogy. And then also looking at her scholarship of teaching and learning. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. Could you briefly tell us your area of research?
Thank you for having me today. So I actually came into this work because I am a doctoral candidate and I'm doing my work in distance education, and I'm also a nurse educator. And so I was really interested in the intersection between those two areas. And then I also had an opportunity to do a fellowship with the Open Education Group. And so as part of my fellowship there, it was to do some work around open pedagogy, open educational resources, which is my area of interest for my research. And so in really thinking about what is the intersection, I really wanted to understand really explore the scholarship of teaching and learning in nursing education as it evolves. And part of that evolution is looking at how we do teaching and learning and what are the ways we can be doing it in to support and facilitate equitable and meaningful learning for nursing students. And so that really led me to exploring more about open pedagogy and critical pedagogy. And there was quite a closeness amongst these pedagogies. And so in coming to understand them, I did look at them together and the characteristics that were coming out that were similar across those two pedagogies.
Can you share why you used an ethical framework? And you and I were talking before we began the podcast about we don't have enough nurse educators studying ethics anymore and the intersection of ethics with our teaching and with open source education. Just can you share with listeners why you used an ethical framework? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's when we think of, okay, so when I thought about becoming a nurse educator, I really came into it because part of the reason is I loved the teaching I was doing with my clients when I was practicing as a nurse. And I loved it. And I wanted to bring that forward and I wanted to work on that. And so when I became an educator, I just naturally kind of pulled that into my practice. And I would be thinking about how, when I teach, what am I drawing from? Like, where is this coming from? And so much of what I would be doing as a nurse and an educator, and then as an educator, would be pulled from those ethics, the ethics that underlie my practice. And so when I was thinking about it, I really wanted to think about how can I then support other educators to think about their practice as educators from a place that they know. And ethics, though we don't see as much research necessarily right now, I haven't seen as much out there. There's, you know, I'm just thinking back to when I was graduating, how much we talked about ethics, but it's such a foundational piece of who we are as nurses. And so I wanted to pull from something that people know and they can bring forward and think about that's familiar to them. And so the ethical frameworks in Canada and the US, there's some very strong similarities amongst those. And they're really great principles to think about in how educators teach and learn. And it also underlies their nursing practice. So it's familiar.
And I think it also, to me, it also relates to this open education model, which you talk a lot about in your article. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. And so the reason I fell in love with open pedagogy, and part of my doctoral studies was letting myself go down rabbit holes into different pedagogies to understand them. And what I fell in love with about open pedagogy was it asks folks to think about the whys of how we do teach and learn, and the why we do what we do and what underlies that. And those principles and those values, they really come forward in open pedagogy. And so when we think about open pedagogy, it's asking folks to think about how to increase accessibility to education. And how do we do that? So through student-centered practices, through thinking about power, balance, and relationships. It's well recognized in distance education, and open pedagogy has actually taken off even more since the pandemic, as other traditional face-to-face universities had to pivot online. And they had to really kind of think about what they're doing in that online space. And so it's even taken up more understanding in the higher education field. And so thinking about how the critical lens comes onto open pedagogy, how we're asking about the barriers and the systems that we work in and how we facilitate or create barriers to different learners. And so creating ways that are accessible and equitable, and what relationships underlie our teaching and learning practices, because those are really foundational to how learning happens and how learning becomes meaningful.
Could you highlight a couple of key teaching and learning strategies that educators can adopt in their classroom or clinical teaching?
Sure. So in this literature review, what I did is I took a look at the current nursing literature. It's out there that we look at what we're doing in nursing education. So how are we doing teaching and learning in nursing education? And then what I did is I explored those articles to see how people are already doing open pedagogy and may not even be calling it that. And many are not actually calling it open pedagogy, but like looking for relational practices, empowering practices, removing of barriers, using of open resources. And so these are what we're looking at in open pedagogy. And so some great ways that educators can support open pedagogy principles in their teaching and learning is to do things that are relational. So really focusing on building relationships with other students and amongst students. So doing peer-to-peer editing, really great opportunity for students not only to develop their own teaching skills, but to build confidence in who they are and to teach amongst and to build those relationships and confidence amongst each other. Even participating, for example, in an OER textbook. So one of the great articles that I read about was the development of a nursing textbook where the educators sat as the authors, and they brought students into that authorship. And what was really fascinating about this opportunity was that students provided a really cool lens, because they were able to say, I don't think this makes sense here. As a student, I wouldn't pick up on this. And so then the educators were able to revise that work to make it make more sense. And in the process, students were socialized to the profession of nursing. And so everyone benefited in this relationship. One of the other interesting strategies I just want to point out was looking at advocacy and activism in nursing. And so when we're asking students to, for example, look at health determinants, talk about what that means to their clientele and their patients, when we ask our students to think about that and then ask them to think about the actions that take place at a systems level, they're able to then participate in different ways where they demonstrate not only just thinking about it, but doing something about it. And when we start doing something about it, there's a fantastic opportunity to make change in the systems that we work and live and play within. And so even just simple strategies were talked about in looking at advocacy and activism in nursing. And then they bring that forward when they see their educators doing things like that in the classroom. They then bring that forward to their nursing practice when they get out and graduate.
Were there any significant findings in addition to what you had just mentioned that nurse educators should be paying attention to? I mean, you've mentioned some. Are there any other almost like takeaways that are significant findings that you want our listeners to be attentive to in their teaching?
So I think the advocacy to activism is an important one, and it's a hard one because there is some tension around what those two terms mean and what it means to actually do that in practice. So that's something everyone needs to be thinking about, is how we are able to be active in supporting really good health policy, so showing our students how that, what that actually means, but also as educators to reflect on how we demonstrate excellence in our practice. So committing to the scholarship of teaching and learning, it's the nursing field is phenomenal. We've done some incredible research. We have built some amazing, you know, evidence-based practice. So it's asking more questions about how we do that with the teaching and learning that we're doing in nursing education. And then the big one is really asking some really hard questions about socially just nursing education. And, you know, many scholars have really been looking at this and the critical work that needs to be done about making social nursing education socially just, but there's more work that continues to need to be done so that we can facilitate equitable, safe, inclusive spaces in nursing education. Because when we can support safe and open spaces, then we're going to be able to support a further and well-represented workforce that comes forward, so that we're, and then we get everyone out there into the nursing field, and we get different groups of people in nursing and out working with different clientele, we can actually support better health outcomes as well.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Now you're a doctoral candidate. Congratulations. How has this research that you've immersed yourself in influence your own personal doctoral studies? And for our listeners who are thinking about doctoral education, what kind of things would you suggest to them?
So I think, you know, one of the best things I ever did with this doctoral work is give myself permission in the beginning to just explore. And it was really hard in the beginning to not have a really set agenda on what I wanted to do for my research. But by giving myself time to explore, and just like I said earlier, to rabbit hole a bit, so go down the pathways of really cool and interesting concepts, it gave me permission to find and land on open pedagogy, which has been my, I'm focusing only on open pedagogy moving forward into my doctoral research. It has a critical lens on it, but that permission was so important. You know, some of the other advice I've been given that has been really helpful to me was to be okay with thinking things through, going back and fixing, and then coming back again and doing it. This work is something that takes a long time. I work full time as well. So it's basically two jobs at once, which I know many folks do. So it has to be something that I'm comfortable with. My foundation is strong, but I give myself permission to make a couple mistakes, fix them, and keep moving forward in the process, because it's a learning journey. And I've learned a lot about myself throughout it, but I've also been able to just be open and honest about where I want to go, and give myself permission and space to do that work. I focus on open pedagogy moving forward, and I'm doing this because I really wanted to just kind of be a little bit more focused in my actual project. And I'm actually focusing more on digital distance nursing education in my actual project now, because even this original literature review, when I did my original search, there is very little research out there right now about digital distance nursing education. And it is a phenomenal way to open up access to nursing education. And so I want to contribute to that field of research.
I also think it's good advice, if any of our listeners are thinking about doctoral study, not to go in with the decision that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, to have this open learning model yourself because your ideas may change as you're exposed to other students, other faculty. So I think that's really sage advice. Kristen, is there any parting words you'd like to leave with our listeners today for this podcast?
You know, thank you for this opportunity, Marilyn. I have published now a couple of times with your journal, and I encourage folks to consider when you're first starting to publish, to think about finding journals that will work with you to support you as a novice writer, finding mentors who will help you with that writing. I have incredible supervisors who are co-authors on this article, Dr. Beth Perry, Dr. Pamela Walsh, who have provided great guidance. But then I've also been able to work with people such as yourself who've given me an opportunity to grow as a writer. And so those opportunities and going through those processes will help me to continue growing as a researcher and as a writer. And so those are great opportunities. So do them. So doing this podcast was a great opportunity to think about my research and present it in a different way. And I think those are those opportunities I encourage people just to take advantage of if you get them, and to find work that's meaningful to you, because it's a long and incredible, but it's a hard journey. So find something you can stick with, and it's okay if you change your pathway, like you said, be open to that, because those possibilities can bring about new doors that you didn't even know existed.
Kristen, thank you so much for sharing your research with us and a lot of your own impressions having done this study with the educators who are listening. This concludes the podcast.